Okay, it's everybody's favorite, third month of the year, right? Spiritual shotgun. So, just been thinking a lot about faith recently. Again, you can't exhaust that in a shotgun. But I wanted to hit it in four topics tonight: trust, offering, love, and overcoming. So those are our topics. Looks like Mr. Burry's got overcome. Who's got trust? All right. Come on, Raj. Bring him up with a hand.
Let's just start reading Mark chapter 4, so I know what I'm talking about here. Is there such thing as a blind shotgun? Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 35. And on that day, when evening came, he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat. And just as he was in the other boat, were there with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so much as the boat was already filling up. And Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they awoke with him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down and it became very peacefully calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this, even that the wind and the sea obey him?" When I read these verses, my mind goes back to a date, 2020, when all of a sudden the world went upside down and everybody soon got really afraid. But when we look back on it, it's not much different than any time the boat gets rocked in life. That boat starts shaking, what do people tend to do? Well, we tend to get scared. But as I often remind my family, whose boat are we on? See, that's what these guys forgot about. They had walked beside Jesus, they knew the plan, but then the boat started rocking. Now, how often does that happen when we're watching the news? Maybe why in my family we don't watch the news that often. What's the sources you're taking in? Because if they're rocking your boat, you're taking the wrong thing in. Turn off the TV, open the book. Turn off the TV, say a prayer. Turn off the TV and be still, and know that he still is God. He is in control. And that has never changed any time in history. It says that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he directs it where he will. He directed Pharaoh in Egypt. He directed Pilate. He directs, whether you believe it or not, Obama, Biden. Things will not happen without the outside of his will. Now, bad things will happen because there is no way to know the glory of a magnificent God and how good he is if you don't have the contrast. How would you know what light is if you didn't know what darkness is? I mean, to think about that on a flip side, you can't explain the color red to somebody that's blind. Because they have nothing to weigh it against. And you can't explain the glory of God without evil. And so that's why God allows that to exist. But if you're in the boat, if you've been immersed for the right reasons, and you have done all the right steps, and you are in God's kingdom, you have something that cannot be shaken. The boat may rock. The devil may try to rattle your cage. But we're not going down. Your days were numbered before you were born. God's the one that decides when it's over. We have nothing to fear except for God Himself. Don't let your boat be shaken.
Nobody else will come up. I guess I will.
1 minute.
And I'm done. Turn to Mark 12. Mark 12 it is, 41 through 44. And he sat down opposite the treasury, he, Jesus, and began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury, and many rich people were putting in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which amount to a cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor woman put in more than all the contributors to the treasury, for they all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned, all she had to live on." And so, this is a great example for us and a great message that God doesn't need our money, right? We know that. He needs the hearts of the people of His church, right? And so, where's your heart? Why do we do what we do? Is more important to God than to, what we just checking off a box, right? And so what does the church mean to us? If the church tomorrow just ended, how would it affect us? Would it be just like, or would it be just completely devastating to us because the church is our life? God is not something that we do for an hour on the weekend. We live for Him. And so you can see this play out with this poor woman, right? She gave everything that she owned. And if something's worth that much to you, you'll give up everything you have for it. And so it reminds me of the parables that Jesus goes through in Matthew chapter 13. Can turn there. In Matthew chapter 13, you have the parable of the field, right? The hidden treasure. And in verse 44 of Matthew 13, it says Jesus is having these parables and he's going through them and he says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." He sells out so that he can go and purchase that field. Why? Just for that treasure, right? You picture this huge, just wasteland of a field, like is just no value to it really. And he goes and sells everything that he has to go and buy it because the treasure is in. He knows the treasure is there. And so God doesn't care about, our sacrifices. In Isaiah chapter 1, we won't go there, but he says, your new moon sacrifices are, I just despise them. I don't want your sacrifices. I want your heart. If the church means as much to us and that it's everything to us, we will sell everything that we own and just to buy that treasure. If that's the treasure of our heart. Why do we do what we do? What is in your heart? God wants our heart. He doesn't care about our money. And so if the church is that valuable to us, and it should be, it means everything to us, we will do whatever it takes, right? And we will give all that we have, everything that we have to live on, like this poor woman did. And Jesus pointed this out, right? He's watching all this take place, and he calls his disciples over and says, look at this. She gave everything. She's out of all the people, she gave the most. She gave a cent. Why? But was the why behind it? It was her whole heart, and she gave everything that she had for that. And so that's the encouragement that I get from this, is that what does the church mean to us? And God, what is God? He's done everything for us, right? He purchased us. And so we owe our lives to him. And so we need to take from this example and sell out for God. All right, thanks.
All right, let's turn to Matthew 22. Oh, I don't have a spot to clip this.
There we go. Does my time start now? For sure, thank you. All right, Matthew 22:36-40. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love your Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. All right, so when it says you shall love your neighbor as yourself, let's be honest for a second. We don't always love ourselves like we should, do we? We were talking about this on Friday and in our group study, and that's just the simple fact of the matter. We don't. You know, like Lorenzo mentioned, staying up every night till midnight and eating pizza and, you know, having milkshakes, that's not something you'd want for your son or for your daughter, is it? You know, like you should truly love one another as how you should love yourself. And I think that there's a big difference in that. We should just go on to do better for that, and especially one another in the congregation, you know. Make sure to keep our eyes on the prize and continue to encourage each other. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That also comes into play in the sense of be convicted. Are you really doing that? Same concept of, are you really putting all the effort that you can towards God and towards the congregation and towards what is right and towards being the light in this dark world? You know, I try to pray for that every night. Lord, you know, let your will be done and let me be a light in this dark world. Because we just got done with the month of June, which I know all of you are aware. And they preach love this, love that, and that's not what love is, you know. What this is what love is. And I think a lot of people like to take stuff like that out of context. A lot of places I could go with that, but it's simply put, not love. So be sure to give love and give the most purest form of love that you truly can to yourself and those around you. Thanks.
Thank you. What Rain said.
Yeah, you pretty much hit it, but there's some good stuff. Hi, guys. All right, we got 1 Samuel 17, verse 45. We'll read a few verses here. 1 Samuel 17:45. It says, "Then David said to the Philistines, 'You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you, and I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistine this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, and all that the earth may know that there is a God in Israel.'" Whoops, I forgot that part. "I will strike you down and remove your head from you, and I will give the dead..." Yeah, got that. Okay. "And that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Then it happened when the Philistines rose and came and drew near to me to meet David, that David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand into the bag and took from it a stone and swung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead so that he fell on his face to the ground. Thus David prevailed over the Philistine with the sling and the stone, and he struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in David's hand." Pretty awesome passage. One we even the little kids know, right? But we can see the... really, the power of the Lord, but the power of faith. Really, honestly, David had no business being there, right? In any, on face value. He's young. He is not real. I mean, yeah, he's taken on animals and stuff, but he's not necessarily battle tested. There should have been some big guys, right? Some warriors that stood up and instead and took his place, but they didn't. And that didn't stop him. He didn't have that picture. He didn't have that image of himself. He thought bigger. He had faith in the Lord and that he had a purpose. And this is what it looked like today. And so it makes me think of, really the power of faith. But something that I've been really working on and thinking about a lot lately is the growth mindset. And it's interesting because the world really hits the growth mindset and having that perspective and really seeing opportunity when there might not be any, and just really seeing the good or the positive or that something could come from a challenge, right? But they don't. I mean, the world doesn't have the Holy Spirit. The world doesn't have Christ in you. And so the growth mindset is really ultimately for the Christian. It is something that we can have in battles or in situations when it looks hopeless, when it seems like there is nothing, that somebody else can do it, or the job will, you know, get done by somebody else, or it's just too much for me. That really, we can see things differently because we have Christ in us. We can have the ultimate growth mindset. Another way of looking at the growth mindset is how is this happening for me? How is life happening for me, not to me, right? And so it makes me think of Hebrews 11. I want to turn there really quick. Not going to read much, just hit some points here. You guys know what I'm hitting. The triumphs of faith is the heading. It says, verse 1, "Now faith is the assurance of the things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the men of old gained approval." We see that by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice. By faith, Enoch was taken up, that he would not see death. By faith, Noah being warned by God about the things not yet seen. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place where he was to receive for an inheritance. By faith, he lived as an alien. By faith, these guys didn't have a clear answer in front of them. It wasn't a clear path. They didn't know what was to come. But by faith, in that mindset that, that we now have, Christ in us, they charged forward. It's something that we can have too. I think of, or even more so for us, 2 Timothy chapter 1, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline." Power. Guys, we can look at things like David did. Whoa, we have this huge challenge right ahead of us. How are we going to? I don't know. I don't know how we're going to do it. But God's on our side. God, we have Christ in us. We can take the challenge and take it on. So there's a movie I saw a bit ago with the kids. It was a family night. We watched a movie called We Bought a Zoo. And it's been out quite a while, but there's a saying in there that I really like. And it was 20 seconds of courage. And it goes like, Benjamin, it's a quote from Benjamin. He says, you know, sometimes all you need is 20 seconds of insane courage. Just literally 20 seconds of embarrassing bravery. And I promise you something great will come of it. Got it. 20 seconds. How many things... How could you change your life in 20 seconds? By doing something just crazy. How about doing something just crazy for the Lord? Your entire life could be changed in 20 seconds of insane bravery. How about David? How about these guys that are mentioned? They just went for it. Guys, we have what we need. Let's go for it.
Excellent. Thank you, guys. These guys had no notice. They walked up there and saw it for the first time. I appreciate that. You know, there's a guy on the internet who walks the streets and, you know, he'll go up to people pumping their gas or go up to them walking outside the department store and he'll say something like, I'll give you $100 if you can quote one Bible verse. And they're always just like, and then there's a handful of them are like, oh, yeah. The God, faith. You know, but God's word is living and active, amen? Can pierce the division of soul and spirit, judge the intentions of the heart, and if received in humility, can save the soul. So it's great that not only do we maybe know a Bible verse, Josh Cole, want $100? You know, give me. It's like not only the way that the assembly is designed, and your guys' love for reading the Word and getting into Bible studies with one another. Braden comes up here; he doesn't come up here a whole lot, and he's like, he had material from their group Bible study on Friday. You guys are in Bible studies; that's awesome. Put this Word in, and then in this congregation, we got guys who could just walk up here, look at a verse, sit down, and give you 4 or 5 minutes of scripturally accurate, truthful encouragement. So I'm really fired up by that. I really appreciate everyone and for you guys being here and for Spiritual Shotgun. So let's stand and we'll close with a word of prayer. Today, Father, Lord God, we just thank you so much for your word. It was brought out so well today just in people's understanding of it, their ability to share it. You did design the word to be preached. You know, that's something that Paul makes clear to the Romans. And so we're just so grateful, Lord, that we have it and that we know that it's true and that you have proven yourself to us and that there is life in it. And so we're so grateful for that. So thankful, Lord, and personally encouraged by the congregation here in Billings for their dedication to the word of God and that we would all live as servants by faith, which was brought out well tonight. In accordance with what you have said, not because you're tyrannical or bossy, but because you, as a loving father, know what works and what is right and what is good and lovely and acceptable. And so thank you for sharing that with us. Thank you for also giving us of your spirit so that we can be in your image, can also be strengthened to overcome in this.